Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. I am joined by Adam Rowe, by John Machin and by John Reid for this one as we look ahead to Liverpool travelling to Birmingham to face off against Aston Villa. We'll be facing them again maybe sometime in December, maybe not, in the League Cup that we progressed through to.
Maybe we could fly them over to Qatar or wherever we're playing and play them there.
It's been a long time since they've had that type of an away day, Villa, hasn't it?
Like a warm-up game before we start.
I like that idea. Yeah, I think we should. We should definitely ask to do that. Is that allowed? I don't know. Who knows?
Why don't we just postpone this Premier League game till the end of the season and just make this the cup game?
Clever.
I think Rose solved it.
That does solve all of it, doesn't it? We just play the Villa away to win the league on whatever date it will be in May.
8th of August.
After a week before next season starts.
After knocking them out the Carabao Cup with our kids. They wouldn't be very happy, would they?
That would work, though. Now that we're drawn against them. Get on it.
Haven't we got a West Ham game that's still been postponed?
Yeah.
We've still got to fit that one in somewhere as well. Loads to talk about in this one. Obviously, we know that loads of players were rested at them midweek. It's probably just going to be a revert to type. Lovren looks like he's going to be partnering Virgil van Dijk, I'd guess, and the normal midfield and forwards come back in. That easy?
I think it will be that easy. I'm just worried about Fabinho because he's one yellow card away from
suspension. I wouldn't play him personally, and that's just me.
I wouldn't either, but I don't think Klopp can preach one game at a time for 6 years or however long he's been saying that, and then just think of a reasonable excuse, unless he just blags that he's injured just to save face. But then Fabinho's got to be in on the conspiracy there because he's not injured. If he gets a yellow card in this game and then we've got to play City without the best midfielder in the world, it's going to be quite annoying, isn't it?
We've got Adam Lallana.
Yeah, that's why he's
come in. That's okay. Why he practiced last night.
Do you know what, John? That doesn't make me feel any better.
What would you rather? And this is completely disrespectful to Adam Lallana. And I'm so sorry. 10 men or Adam Lallana in the six?
No, I'm Adam Lallana in the six. Just about.
I'm glad that, don't take this seriously, by the way, because we actually, don't take me seriously. I really like Adam Lallana.
I like Lallana, but he's not a defensive midfielder. Lallana, for the rest of his Liverpool career, as far as I'm concerned, should come on in games like United, where we're struggling to break a team down and we need a little bit of creativity. He's never going to play 90 minutes and be the Lallana he was ever again, I don't think. But for the last 20, 15 minutes of a game, he could come on, make a few nice moves and unlock a defence. That's what he should be used for, trying to convert him into a six.
I think I said at the start of the season, yeah, we've used him in pre-season. There's absolutely no chance that we're seeing Adam Lallana in the six this season. Yeah, he's done that a few times already. Egg on my face there, but it is what it is. Genuinely though, John, would you risk Fabinho in this?
I think he would, because I don't think you can second guess things. You've got this game to win, so you put your best team out, and then you deal with whatever consequences come from that next time up, City or not.
That's exactly almost what Klopp is going to say, isn't it? I think you can cut that out of this video and put it next to Klopp's pre-game presser, and they won't be, if anyone has the balls to ask Klopp, is Fabinho going to play this week? Because you got City next week and you get a yellow card. He will laugh and then say something like that. Fabinho is going to play this game, but I don't think that he should.
We can trust him, though. I mean, if Klopp goes out there, he'll know he's on this yellow card. You know, he didn't get a yellow card in the last game, John. Klopp will trust him to go out there and perform without picking up a yellow one.
He does walk that tightrope really well, I think. There's loads of games where he's took a tactical yellow and then you're thinking, fucking hell, like, here we go. And then he just doesn't do it. It's the rest of the game, he's fine. And you're like, oh, he seems to be able to switch it on and off. But if you're asking me as a fan who watches it, I don't even want to see him on the bench against Villa. I want to, you know, give Chamberlain a go. Put Chamberlain in midfield and, you know, put Wijnaldum in the six or something. Or loads of people are kicking off for Henderson, put him in the six again. You know, we know he's good there. He knows how to do the job, you know.
The thing is, though, with regards to walking the tightrope, first of all, it's easier to not get a second yellow card than not get a first one.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? A ref is more willing to let something go if you're on a yellow and go, you only get one more of them, lad. Your first dodgy tackle, if a ref's in a bad mood, you're getting booked. Like, and he could make a worldie of a tackle. That tackle against Suarez, against Barca last year, that was perfect. He got booked for that. You can get a first yellow for a good tackle. That's what worries me. I trust them to come on the pitch and go, I can't get booked here because we've got City next week. And I trust them to be able to do that. I don't trust the referee.
I think, you know, Klopp's very, very good at not being disrespectful to anybody. He won't look at this game and go, you know, oh, Villa are 15th and this, that and the other. But I think in the back of his head, you know, he's got to be looking at this match and thinking, look, they're 15th and, yet, you know, they might stay up. They look like they probably will stay up given out some of the teams below them. But this is a game where we can go and put six attackers on the pitch and have the back four. You know what I mean? So maybe you don't need Fabinho for that. Or maybe I play two in midfield and play four, you know, four up top type thing. So, you know, we'll see what happens, obviously, when the team sheet comes out. But, I mean, it's a nightmare for you, starting 11.
But, I get it wrong every week. It doesn't matter to me. But this makes no odds whatsoever.
I just think, like, if you're looking at it, and again, I think Klopp's obviously got the team around him, his old backroom staff. They must be looking at that City game and thinking, look, they're missing key midfielders and stuff and key defenders. God knows where Fernandinho is going to play in that game. Fabinho's job must surely be to watch every bit of tape on Fernandinho and go, that's your job next when we play them the week after. So I don't know. I don't think he'll feature personally. But
no, the thing is, we've got options. Like, Milner only played left back. He can play two games in a week. He could play in the middle. We could move Hendo. We could move Wijnaldum. We could move Milner into the six. I think we've got the options there if Klopp chose to, John, to be able to pick a team.
I mean, to be honest, the only part of the team he ever changes is midfield. So it's not a surprise if he leaves him out. No one could say, oh, you've left him out deliberately or whatever. You know, he changes midfield all the time. But I just don't see him doing it. That's the only thing. I mean, I would do it. But and we sound like we would all do it, but I just can't see it happening.
No, because Klopp recognises that 3 points against Villa is 3 points, isn't it?
Three points against Villa is worth as much to us as 3 points against City.
You don't want to be going into the City game 3 points ahead of them, do you?
No.
You know, you want to go in with 6 points ahead of them. You know, so.
And make it so that they can't catch it up. That's, I suppose that's it, isn't it? One of the guys that is going to be a big miss over the next 6 weeks, we know now, or we think we know, is Joel Matip, Adam. Guy that has just been in unbelievable form since the turn of the year. Cemented that place alongside Virgil van Dijk. And it looked to me like he was past those sort of little injuries. He's picked one up. Lovren looks to be ahead of Joe Gomez now. People are losing their heads about that, but I think Lovren performed really well against Tottenham. I think he lost a couple of headers, don't get me wrong, but he won eight and he only contested 11, so he'll be all right, won't he? Ooh.
I would quite happily never see Dejan Lovren start a Premier League game for Liverpool ever again. I don't trust him at all. Like, I've said this a lot of times on this show as well, or on the some of the shows that we do here. Dejan Lovren can look like a solid centre-half for 87 minutes and then just does something unfathomably stupid and give a goal away. And in the Premier League,
when was the last time you think that happened?
Against Genk?
I disagree. I don't think that was just solely Lovren's fault.
No, it wasn't, I mean, solely Lovren's fault. But
he's on the sideline. I don't think he gets a call from anybody. I think otherwise he just knocks the ball out.
Would Van Dijk have done that? Would Matip have done it? No, did he just volley it out and got back in position? He's stupid.
But then Van Dijk has a go at it. Milner has a go at it. I don't think that's a direct error to goal. Not like James Milner the other night.
No, I'm not saying it's the same as like passing a short pass back to a goalkeeper. I think he's capable of that as well. But that's the thing. It's not like that's the only mistake he's ever made. And that's the only type of mistake he ever made.
No, but I just don't think it's happened for a year.
Because he hasn't played for a year.
He played a lot last season. I don't think he made any errors like that. I think you're talking 2 seasons ago was the last time he made one like that.
Every time he's in, we've got brilliant players that makes him get away with it more now. We've got Van Dijk there who catches up, and we've got Trent, but there's going to be times when they're not there to do it. He's going to start this game, and I've just got to deal with that. But he shouldn't still be here.
I mean, I'm a Joe Gomez fan. I'd rather he was in the team.
Gomez was bad last night, but I would rather Gomez be in the team.
Gomez has got more pace, and I think that's going to be crucial, particularly when we get to City. I'd rather we add that extra bit of pace than Lovren plodding around, to be honest.
What worries me is I think you look at the other defenders we've got who can play centre-half, and Van Dijk, when I say he coaches them through games, he talks them through games. He's like, look, I'm going here, so you need to go over there and do that. The worry with Lovren is Lovren's like, no, I'm doing this, and you can see Van Dijk kicking off at him and going like, no, I'm going, I'm in charge here, like, you know, that I'm doing this and you're going to do this. And Lovren doesn't do that. He just decides he's doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, he's arrogant without having the ability to back it up. Like, we're talking about, like, obviously people might not have seen it, but we've just done the final words on the last game, and we're talking about confidence in players like the likes of Harvey Elliott and stuff. Because they look like they've got the skill to back it up. Lovren's that man, but without any of the skill. He's called himself the best centre-back in the world 2 years ago, and he wasn't, was he? He thinks he is, though. So he's alongside Virgil van Dijk, and I'm just as good as him. He's not.
I think it depends what game we're playing, to be honest. And, like, we used to do stuff, like, a lot of stuff on, like, the pass maps, where we were looking at, like, our average positions and stuff. And a lot of games where we were just decimating teams, you know, 18 months ago, and just scoring loads of goals. We were basically playing playing one at the back. We were playing Van Dijk on his own, really, and Lovren was further forward, and obviously the full-backs were higher up. So in a game like this, I completely agree with that, everything Adam said, that, like, you know, Lovren can still do a Degsy occasionally. But I just think in a game like this, where you'd hope we're going to be on the front foot and pushing forward, he's going to spend a lot of the game in midfield anyway. So I think when that partnership works best is when it's Van Dijk on his own at the back, basically just mopping up with Alisson. And Lovren basically plays most of the game in midfield.
But he's going to get caught there. Like, I'd rather Gomez be in that position, because then Gomez at least got the pace to get back.
There is a reason, though, mate, that we're not aware of, that will be why Lovren is in the starting 11 and not Joe Gomez.
I think it's fitness. I do. That's the only reason I can see. Because at the start of this season, Lovren was a distant fourth behind Matip and Gomez.
But Gomez hasn't been injured this season, has he?
He's had little niggles.
I mean, so I think, and reading between the lines of what Klopp said about Joe Gomez training and stuff, Dejan's moved ahead of him in training. I think he's putting better performances in, and I don't think you should give the shirt to anybody, and I don't know this for fact, that isn't working that hard in training and isn't playing that well in training. So I'm not Degsy's biggest fan here, and I don't think he's a great centre-half either, by the way. I think he's a really good fourth-choice centre-half, and I think he's an OK third-choice centre-half, but there is a reason that Jürgen is picking him over Joe Gomez, and that's what I'm searching for.
We've seen, I think most people who've sat here have seen that video of him with Klopp after the game, where Klopp comes back to the tunnel Anfield, and Klopp gives him a big hug. So he's clearly doing something the manager likes, isn't he? You know what I mean? And the bigger worry for me, I think, behind the whole thing is the mistakes and all that, yeah, you know, like what we've seen of him over the last 4 years or whatever, but the whole thing in the summer about whether he was staying or going, and that seems to have popped up again a little bit recently. You know, I've seen a few little bits in the press about it, but that to me is more of a worry. But the manager backs him clearly, so
I'll tell you right now, what is it? We're looking 6 weeks without Matip, and let's say Lovren's the first choice for that 6 weeks. He will make a mistake in that 6 weeks that leads to a goal. Now maybe we win that game 6-1, maybe we do. I guarantee, yeah. Remember this, before Matip is back. If he's in the team for that length of time, he will cost us at least one goal, and I think it'll be 2 or 3 in that time.
I'd say he doesn't. I got a minute.
Only time will tell.
I'll say he doesn't cost us 2 or 3. Right. Okay.
Isn't that insane, though? You're not confident enough to say that he can't go 6 weeks.
I've just watched James Milner, who hasn't made a mistake in 70 years, make a mistake. So any that can happen in football.
You can't say Joe Gomez won't make a mistake because he hasn't played a lot, and therefore he's got to get back into the swing of it. And he may have suffered by losing his place to Matip. He might have thought he was now first choice, and then suddenly Matip's in every week, and he's think maybe his head's gone down a bit in training. Who knows? But, you know, in the long term, it must be Joe Gomez's place, I think, even ahead of Matip. You know.
He's got all the raw abilities to be one of the best centre-halves in the world. His ceiling is so much higher than the other two. That's what it comes down to for me. But at the moment, I don't know where his floor is. And I do probably know where Matip and Lovren's is. And I'm only questioning his floor because Klopp's not putting him in the side. No reason on performance that I've seen so far. John, you watch a lot of football. What have you made of Villa so far this season?
They're pretty good, but when I say the bang average, they're like just very middle of the road. I was looking at the form guide before, and like I think they're scoring a goal every 55 minutes, but they're conceding every 60. I think they're on minus one. So they're basically scoring a goal and conceding a goal every game type of thing. And They've looked good. The big worry with them, I think, when they come up, or certainly going into the start of the season, is that they signed something daft like 12 players, and you look at them thinking, like, fucking hell, like, they've done a full of me here, haven't they? They're going to go. But they seem really organised, and they've got a bit of a threat with McGinn from midfield. They've got a few good lads up front. You know, you look at that, the starting 11 they put out, and you know, they've got some good wingers, El Ghazi and Jota. You know,
and Grealish is obviously playing well at the moment.
I think what you've got to worry about with Villa is they're a big club.
Yeah.
They've got massive support. They've got a really good ground. They're going to be playing the European champions, and they're going to put a shift in.
Yeah,
they're really going to be up for it. No,
it's not a gimme, this game. And I say that after saying we should leave our best midfielder off the pitch. But yeah, it's not a gimme. Like I watched them against City last week. I watched that whole game, despite saying I would turn it off once City went 2-0 up. And in that first half, they're a first half team, so that's a problem. That's something we can expose because Liverpool don't give up. And we will get chances in the second half against this team. But for that first half, they were so resilient and they offered such a threat on the break. They'll get a couple of chances against us. So that means, like, if they take one, we need to score two goals away to a team that are very, very organised at the back. So it's going to be a tough one. And as you say, massive club, massive support. Proper kickoff time. It's 3 o'clock on Saturday.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's not going to be an easy game.
Okay, we're going to come back and we're going to do our preferred 11s and stuff like that. But here's a little clip from today's final word show, which is absolutely brilliant, talking about the win over Arsenal.
Curtis Jones was meant to take the fourth penalty. And he asked Origi to swap because he wanted to score the winner.
Did he, yeah?
He swapped, he swapped.
I didn't know that.
He said, I want to score the winner.
That's boss.
The interview with the club after the match and he said, how do you feel about, like, that must be a big thing for Curtis Jones. And he said, well, I don't know what happened because the last time I seen the sheath, Origi was down to take the fifth pen and they've just agreed that on the pitch between them to swap.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Brilliant.
What a guy.
That's confidence, isn't it?
Yeah.
And maybe he's like, you never know whether they watch shit like this and he's reading Twitter and seeing that people are going, okay, Curtis Jones doesn't look confident. He's like, I don't look fucking confident. I'm going to come on. I'm going to change the game and then I'm going to send our Champions League hero. You take the fourth one, dickhead.
I'm going fifth. He's already bagged two goals full of confidence. Yeah.
So, and according to Klopp, it was his decision. There was another interview where Klopp was like, yeah, I've spoken to the lads and Curtis has asked to take the fifth one because he wants to go the winner.
Wow, that's so, blown my mind. That.
He probably told Origi, a scouser has to take the fifth penalty.
Origi's such a nice guy. Gone, yeah, no problem, that's fine. Yeah, really enjoyed that show. Obviously, the same four guests. We do the final word on YouTube on a Monday. The second final word is always going to be on the redmentv.com. It's £5 a month. You will get a free month. You'll get about 30 hours of entertainment during that free month. You can consume it by video or by podcast. If you like it, keep it. If you don't like it, fuck it off. But please do give it a try. That show was really good, really funny, and some nice talk about vegan meat substitutes thrown in as well, because why not? It was a mental game of football. Why can't it be a mental final word as well? So we're on to the preferred 11s. John Mayton, I'll start with you on this one. We've obviously had a discussion about Fabinho. Is there anything else you'd like to see changed? Or
no, I mean, again, I think Gomez should play as a preference, Gomez every time over Lovren, but I don't think that'll happen. And I can see the argument for leaving Fabinho out, but I don't think that'll happen either. And I'm hoping Salah's fit and we play our normal front three.
If, in your preferred 11, who would you have as Fabinho's replacement?
Wijnaldum.
Wijnaldum, yeah, good shout. Solid shout. John Reid, what would you go for your preferred 11, mate?
Obviously, Alisson, the back four, the front three. And then I'd have...
Who's the back four, though?
I'd have Van Dijk, Lovren.
In your preferred?
Yeah, Robertson... Arnold, and then I'd have Wijnaldum in the six, and I think it's a game personally for Chamberlain. Whether we play Wijnaldum and Henderson deep and Chamberlain, or whatever way he does it, 4-3-3. I think you basically you just sub out Fabinho for Chamberlain and put Wijnaldum further back. I think he's had less of an impact on games in the last few weeks. He looks a bit like he could do with being a bit further back up.
Okay, what about yourself, Adam?
Alisson, Trent, Gomez, Van Dijk, Robertson. Wijnaldum in the six, Henderson and Chamberlain in midfield, and the front three.
I'm Henderson, Chamberlain, and Wijnaldum. Wijnaldum is the six personally. I'm Gomez probably at centre half as a preferred 11. Don't think that will happen again. Just like everybody else. We'll talk about some of the rival fixtures then, and I've added a team to our rivals fixtures this week. Bournemouth are playing United at 12:30. United are an interesting one, aren't they, lads? Because they actually feel like maybe they are turning a corner here. Does anybody else think that? I mean, they've had some tough fixtures so far this season, United, and they've been talking about it on social media and stuff. But John, they really have played a lot of the better teams in the league, and it does feel like he's starting to get a tune out of Marcus Rashford as well.
It does, but I just think it's still a weak team. The big thing for me, I think, actually coming back, because I think it's probably give Rashford space as Martial. Thinking being back on that team, even if he's not scoring goals for them, I think it just means he can put Rashford in his better position. But Bournemouth's not a massive ground, but I just think that Bournemouth team, if you said to me, you know, Bournemouth lose that game 3-0, I wouldn't be surprised. If you said to me they win it 4-5, I wouldn't be surprised. But if you look at what Bournemouth do going forward, they're brilliant, I think. And, you know, they obviously play good football. It's just at the back they're a bit suspect. So I think personally it's papering over the cracks with United a little bit, I think. You know, I think they've had they've had a lot of pens and stuff. I think Bournemouth will go there and do a job personally.
John, I think you like this team. You used to watch Buffy the Vampire Slayer, didn't you?
I did.
The musical episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Need a minute.
I think that Arsenal might be singing that "Where Do We Go From Here" song from the musical episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer as they head into this.
Yeah.
I knew his face would be like that. Have you not watched it?
What a fucking reference. Where did you pull that out from?
I don't know. It just came to me as I was looking at John. I thought he likes Buffy. I'm sure he likes Buffy the Vampire.
Yeah, yeah.
He used to send the videos over to Paul in university, and then the VHS would get. Paul would watch them, and then when I'd go up to meet Paul in Sheffield, I'd take the VHS back to Leeds, catch up on Angel and Buffy, and then we'd send them back to John. So thanks for that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Who are Arsenal playing?
Wolves. Wolves.
Wolves, that's appropriate. Not werewolves.
Not werewolves.
Is that where that come from?
No, it didn't,
wolves,
John. Just
werewolves, vampires, Buffy, musical episode.
Where do we go from here?
I haven't got a fucking clue.
Have you ever thought of doing a Final Word musical version?
No, but I am now, and it sounds great. Adam's not going to be invited.
I'm busy that day.
Who do you think will win that game, John?
I think Arsenal will probably win it. I don't think Wolves are a little bit in and out. They're quite a good team at times. Arsenal are very good at home, aren't they? They score a lot of goals. So, as we saw the other day, they can score goals.
City, Southampton, Adam?
Yeah, City will batter them.
Watford, Chelsea?
Chelsea. Score, draw.
Ooh. And Watford haven't won yet after this season in the league.
No.
So you could just back in the draw. Okay, I like that. I like that. It's a tough little ground when it gets going, Watford as well.
Can I just go back right to Bournemouth, Man United? Man United are playing better without Pogba.
Yeah.
And when he comes back, they're going to start losing again.
They will, because when he's on the pitch, I think I said this in the build-ups of the United game for us, when he's on the pitch, the tactic seems to be give it to him and make him do something. When he's not on the pitch, they actually have to play as a team. So he's their best player, but he's also their biggest hindrance. And yeah, I think you're right, they are better without him. I think Bournemouth will still win that, though. That's a hard place to go for that, such an early kickoff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Palace, Leicester, the team that have added into the rivals' fixtures. I think they've proven in the first sort of third or quarter of the season now that they are a really good footballing side. The defence is brilliant. Conceded as few goals as we have this season, along with Sheffield United. I think it is on 8 goals conceded.
Our team to beat, though, Palace.
Palace at home, Palace away, I should say, is just such a hard place. Their ground gets going big time. The 2 o'clock maybe doesn't help them in that regard. Like those Monday night games that we used to get on bank holidays against Crystal Palace, I reference them all the time. Their ground gets noisy there, but it's a very tough place to go. And Palace aren't in bad form themselves, Sean.
No, it seems to have somehow stumbled on something that works. They have an eye up front, haven't they? That seems to now like they're actually doing stuff and scoring goals that aren't pens. I think Leicester might struggle in that personally. I think Leicester are clearly the better side. Like there's no two bones about that. But I just, you know, Rodgers struggled playing Palace before Hodgson was there when he was our manager, and I just think it's like you say, it's such a tough place to go play football. And even if they go ahead, I'd still fancy Palace to get a pen or score from a set piece or something. Or so.
I think Leicester are the third best team in the league, and I still think they lose that game.
Okay,
I think their time is going to come to drop some points because they're doing really well, and I think that'll be it. I think they lose that game. Everton, not only 2-1, something like that.
2-1. Everton are playing 4:30 at home against Spurs.
They'll beat them.
They haven't beaten Tottenham Hotspur since, does anyone know what year? 2012. They haven't beaten Tottenham Hotspur since. To say it's a bogey team, my word, I mean, that's crazy, isn't it, that they've not won a game against Tottenham in 7 years? Absolutely ridiculous. So I just can't see anything but a Spurs win.
I think Everton win it.
Yeah,
do you really?
I think they'll break the duck there. I think Tottenham are so hot and cold, and I think they had us last week, and they'll have put Everton into that game, and we still battered them. I know it was a close scoreline, but it could have been a lot more, couldn't it? And I know they could have got one or two more themselves, but that we were comfortably the better team, and I think that'll knock the wind out to sales coming to Anfield, taking such an early lead and getting beat, having not a midweek to sort of pick themselves back up, and now they've got to come all the way back up to Liverpool.
See, I'm the other way. I'm like, I don't think Tottenham are a good team, but I do think they've got better players than Everton. And I think the quality of their players, Son, Eriksen, Kane, Dele Alli, etc., they win games. Now, I don't think they're a good team at all. I really don't think they're good anymore.
They're a bit of in crisis, aren't they? You can't even be sure he'll play Eriksen because of the dispute they're in. I think he played all his rebels against us because they're their best players, but he hasn't been playing them before that. So
the thing for me, it's the Moura thing. Why isn't Moura playing? He's clearly one of the best players they've got, and looks as if he wants to stay, whereas Eriksen doesn't. Why is he not playing? When he played that front three, whenever Kane seems to pick a knock up every January and be out for 2 months because he's got no ankles, but when he played that front three of Moura, Son, and whoever else they put up front with him, that seems to absolutely decimate teams. I don't see why, what, like, you know, if she scored the goal in the Champions League, like, why he doesn't seem to feature more, I don't know.
No, it's a strange one.
It's mad to say that Spurs don't look like a good team anymore, because 18 months ago, that's what they were. They were a good team. They were great.
They were a great away side as well, weren't they?
And they're just not now.
They lost, is it 18 times they've lost in 2019 alone?
It's away, isn't it? Their away record's terrible this year.
I think Goodison at R4, because that, like, it's dark nights now, guys. So I think that's going to be under the lights, certainly for the second half. I don't see Tottenham being able to sort of handle that. And I say that as someone who loves taking the piss out of Everton and their shit fan base. But I think that's going to be tough for Tottenham to get anything out of
it. I think it seems weird that, like, a team that can lose Dembele, was it 12, 18 months ago now, whatever, can struggle. But I think that's a game for midfields, though. I think, like, if Spurs can get a grip of that midfield, and you imagine Gomez will play for Everton, then they'll probably go out and win it. But it's what happens around that, I think, personally. Because in both boxes, I think Spurs are a better team, personally.
They've got the better attackers, haven't they?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go, then. That has been the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. Don't forget to check out Adam Rowe Comedy on YouTube. Loads and loads of videos over there of Adam doing his stand-up, which is his day job, which he's absolutely fantastic at. Me and John Reid went to see him, along with Paul and a few mates of ours, when he was in Liverpool a few weeks ago in the Echo Arena, or M&S Bank Arena, I should say. He was absolutely superb.
Get the sponsor right, lad.
I know.
I kept tweeting, I'm doing a show at the arena. I kept getting messages going, can you put, they're not our sponsor anymore. It's now this. And I was like, yeah, but no one knows where the M&S Bank Arena is.
It's totally true.
I think that's a new thing that they've never heard of.
We're still calling it Omen Bargains, lads.
Yeah.
I don't think it's been called Omen Bargains for 20 years.
My missus is from Skem, Soz. and she calls it Home Bargains.
No.
And every time she does it, I'm like, you live in West Derby now. You need to change that.
Yeah, it's Home and Bargains.
To be fair, though, it's always been Asda, not the Asda, but we call it the Asda. So.
Yeah. Which is totally acceptable as well. Yeah. Everybody else correct. Is wrong, not
it's
us.
It's not even Home and Bargains. It's O-min-bar-gin. O-min-bargain. O-min-bargain.
Like the video, subscribe to Adam on YouTube, get that notification bell on as well. Like this video, subscribe, leave us your thoughts, and we'll see you hopefully after we beat Aston Villa, if not before. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is just around the corner, and it's time to pamper the special moms in your life. And what better way than with Osea's limited edition skincare sets featuring clean, vegan, cruelty-free products that are safe for your skin and the planet. Osea is a women-founded, women-led brand that's been making seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. This Mother's Day, Osea has two limited edition sets, perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for silky, smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go Facial set has everything she needs to achieve spa-level results at home. They're so beautiful, you can skip the wrapping. For a limited time, you can save up to $48 on Osea sets, plus get free shipping. That's Mother's Day made easy. Pamper the moms in your life and get 10% off your first order site-wide with code MOM at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code MOM.